Hey, what's up? Welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols today. I'm joined in studio by our senior writer, Ramona Shelburne. And remotely, we've got 2008 NBA champ, Mr. Carry On, Kendrick Perkins, of course. You heard KD, by the way, off the top of the show. So let's stick with Team USA right here. The journey to a gold medal begins this weekend in a game against France on Sunday. Team USA rebounded after losing the first two exhibition games back in Vegas. So they seem to have put that behind them. Also, the team's bonding has been fun. KD messing with Bam on Twitter earlier this week, and now, ahead of the Olympics, the entire American contingent, not just the basketball team, saying KD, happy birthday today. Take a listen. All right, fun fact for our viewers here, it's not Katie's birthday. the trolling continues. It's moved beyond Twitter now. Mm-hmm. But Perk, as we take a look at the upcoming schedule for Team USA, do they need to make a statement in game one against France on Sunday?
Well, George, do they need to make a statement? I'm willing to put everything on the line and say that they will make a statement. I was one of the guys that was a little concerned about what I saw in Vegas until I realized that those guys didn't care about those scrimmages. They were ready to get to the real action. And the real action is where they at right now. So them going up against France the first game, I feel like the USA team is going to come out on a mission. We heard Greg Popovich talking about it. He's been waiting on it. They've been on his hit list. KD is going to be KD. Dame Dizzle is going to be Dame Dizzle. I see them making a huge statement win.
You know what's amazing, though, George? I want a camera on Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton. They're going to arrive. They're flying there now. I think the word is they're going to try to play on Sunday or be available. That flight must have just been is going to be amazing. But
the stories to tell.
Look, they're going to be ready. I think they've had enough scrimmages here, and I think their first three games, France is going to be the hardest of those first three games. And sometimes that's good. Like, you need to respect your opponent. I actually think if they come out against the Iran or the Czech Republic, they wouldn't necessarily have the same kind of respect that they would do for France, because France has some good players on. There's some NBA players on that team that I think that they need to pay attention to and that will get their attention. Mm-hmm. So that's probably good. I always think, Perk, if you show up and you don't feel like you're going to be challenged, that's when you mail it in. That's when you play in a scrimmage. But France is going to get your attention.
Right. Number 7 in the world right now, FIBA rankings. Obviously, you look at this team and they're getting the reinforcements, as you mentioned, Momo. And Perk, as you mentioned, Pop has had this one circled for 2 years. That was a quote that came out here recently. So, but Perk, I'll ask you first. This team has had some issues, you know, with size, right? Like, you know, they're going to probably have to gang rebound, right? In the sense of, you know, the guards are going to have to do a better job of crashing the boards and things like that. So how do they solve some of their issues defensively and from a playmaking perspective?
Well, when you look at it, I love the adjustment that he made by playing Draymond Green, starting him in that lineup, and challenging Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant. We all know, this is the thing, right? Pop, Steve Kerr, they know that Draymond Green and Kevin Durant know how to play alongside each other for us on the defensive side of things. We watched those two guys anchor the defense in Golden State. Yep. When you challenge Kevin Durant to be better defensively, he always steps up to the challenge. We always talk about KD and how awesome of an offensive player he is and how he's a walking bucket, but what we don't give Kevin Durant enough credit for is his ability to lock in on the defense. Especially when it matters the most.
Well, I mean, I just saw Drew Holiday make one of the best defensive plays I've seen ever, okay, in that series. I mean, Bam Adebayo, to me, is always in the running for an all-defensive team. I think they have plenty good enough roster. They just need to learn how to play together. And I actually think this is a good setup for them, where you get somebody who's gonna give you a challenge in that first game, and it'll get your attention. And I think they get going. They got their attention when they lost, right?
Yep, agreed. They will be locked into that one for sure. And continuity has been a big problem for them. It's been a long time since we've had guys commit to this for a year or plus, right? Like, this is the thing. We're kind of still throwing this thing together, so I think that's part of it. Speaking of continuity, will the Suns have continuity next season? Chris Paul has a $44 million decision to make in the next couple of weeks. He has a player option that guarantees him that amount for next season, or he can opt out and seek a multi-year deal for more money overall. Here's all the options laid out with CP3. So, Ramona, what should Chris do?
I think that he will decline that player option and do an extension with Phoenix. Now, that's what he should do. I think that's what he will do. But if you decline the option and you become a free agent, there is always a little bit of doubt about what you can do. Okay? But I think his leverage is never going to be higher than when he led the team to the finals. I know they didn't win. Everybody disappointed, but he was the missing piece for them. And I think they love him. He loves them. I think if he goes anywhere, I'd be very surprised. But if he goes anywhere, I don't buy anything outside of L.A. or Phoenix.
Which L.A. team, though?
L.A. team? Are you saying that it could be the Lakers,
Ramona,
or the Clippers?
I'm just saying. There's two. So,
is
there one more than the other, maybe? You know?
Yeah, and look, never say no. I know we had a whole documentary about the leaving of Clippers, but...
All right. Perk, what do you think?
Well, I think if he was to leave Phoenix, he would go to the Lakers.
Yep.
But I'm with Ramona, George. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yep.
And one thing I always say, and I get it, right? We as media, we put pressure on a lot of guys to win championships. But we have to remember, at the end of the day, this is their job. So I always encourage players to get your money, get your lettuce, get the most dollars that you possibly can before this run is over with, right? And we know that Chris Paul wants to win. He is a winner, but he wants to get a championship. But I cannot be mad at a man for passing up a chance to make, 44, or whether he signed the extension for $100 million. Like, I can't be mad at a guy, especially at the age of 36 on his way out. You know, championships come second because this is his workplace, and you got to maximize on the dollars. We just saw LeBron James, first player ever in sports history to reach $1 billion while playing the game of basketball.
Yep, first team sport player to reach $1 billion. Now, Chris Paul's situation is a little interesting, though, because he's also the president of the Players Association, right? So I don't think he should set or would set a precedent of taking a discount, right, to go somewhere else. So I do think, to Perk's point, you do have to capitalize financially. To your point, Ramona, he's in a situation where he's never going to have better leverage leading a team to the finals. But when we mentioned the other options, right, like L.A., to pull it succinctly, L.A.'s cap situation, Ramona, is like a Facebook status. It's complicated, is it not?
Yeah. Look, the only way you go to the Lakers or the Clippers is if it's a sign-and-trade.
Right.
Which means they'd have to give up something, and Phoenix would have to be willing to take something back. You have to work with Phoenix to do that. Chris Paul did that before. That's how he went to Houston. It was a sign-and-trade. I don't even know a sign-and-trade. He had
to work
with
the Clippers. Right, but that means Phoenix would take Schroeder back, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think Phoenix wants to do that. I think Phoenix wants to keep him.
Right,
so you have to convince Phoenix to work with you to do that. It's very difficult to do that for Chris, but I just think he stays right there. I don't buy any of the stuff with New York or any of the other teams out there. He lives in L.A. Mm-hmm. His family's here. It's been such a good fit for him in Phoenix, and the only other doors I could see opening would be the Lakers or the Clippers, both of whom need point guards, by the way.
But you know what else? You know what else? Right now, Phoenix is eye candy to other free agents,
right?
When you look at this Phoenix Suns team, you look at the culture that they have built going to the finals. If you're a free agent, you should consider going there. And then I have all the trust in the world in James Jones. I got champ. George, you know about him down there in Miami. He's going to figure out ways to improve this roster. He's going to get pieces that need to be and fill those roles that he saw to get them back to or try to get them back to where they need to go.
Yeah, listen, I am a big fan of James Jones going way back to when he played at American High School in Hialeah, Florida. All right, Big Perk, that's when I knew of James Jones. Way before his days at the University of Miami or playing for all the NBA teams and being a GM. So I do agree with that, but I'll ask you quickly, and I'd love to get Ramona's thoughts before we move on as well. Where are they in the hierarchy next year if all things are even? If the Lakers are healthy, if the Clippers are healthy, if Utah is healthy, where is Phoenix in that mix, Perk?
Well, they're top five. One, because I feel like Kawhi Leonard is not coming back this season. Two is because I do not trust the Utah Jazz, and they have given us every reason not to trust them. So when you look at the teams in the West is wide open again. It's wide open again. Now, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis come back healthy, which I think they are, they're going to be my favorites coming out of the Western Conference is the Los Angeles Lakers.
I agree with you. I think the Lakers will probably be the Vegas betting odds, and I think internally they around the league, that's still the team in the Western Conference that people measure themselves against. And let's see what the Lakers do, by the way, as we approach free agency and the draft, because they have been very active in setting up different scenarios for themselves. I think last year, Rob Pelinka showed he wants to get better. He's going to keep trying to do things to get better. Now, last year, I think they got better, but it didn't fit together as well. Yeah. Doesn't mean they're going to stop trying to get better, though. Try a different mix. And so they have been very aggressive, and let's see where they end up in about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, well, don't go too far, because in about 20 minutes or so, we do have some Lakers stuff to get into as well. All right, so Giannis went live on IG during a trip to Chick-fil-A the other day after winning the title. He ordered a 50-piece Nuggets to honor his 50-point game in the finals clincher. Well, according to a software company called MVP Index on Twitter, Giannis generated nearly $300,000 in brand value with that stream. So Giannis quote tweeted and asked, can I now have Chick-fil-A for life? Perk, should he get free Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, free Chick-fil-A for life is an understatement. We're going to see Giannis on commercials. Matter of fact, get him his own sauce called Giannis Greek sauce. I won't try it because I'm Polynesian guy.
Yeah, I would try that, though. Look, that is just, he's just giving it away, though. He already gave them so much brand value. They owe him now.
But I'll say this to Giannis. Popeyes just got in the chicken nugget game. They're going to run the game from now on. No disrespect, but as Vince Carter once said, it's over. It's over in the chicken nugget game, okay?
Oh,
it's Popeyes coming for everybody's head.
That's the hottest take.
All right, let's stick with the draft and talk about the Golden State Warriors. According to Marcus Thompson from The Athletic, Bradley Beal and Pascal Siakam are atop the Warriors' wish list should those guys become available. The Warriors have the number 7 and 14 pick in the upcoming draft and have missed the playoffs the last two seasons. Let's take a look at the Warriors' core here and their ages, more importantly. They're in win-now mode, so they have the assets, but they also have a little ticking clock here. So, Ramona, how should they approach the draft?
Well, look, the Warriors have been trying to be the Spurs, okay? That was their idea of how they were going to present themselves. You have Steph, Clay, and Draymond is the older version. Then you have the younger version with Wiggins and Wiseman and Jordan Poole. They come along and take over for the three players as they get older. It's a nice idea. But you also have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, who want to win now and are ready and theoretically going to be all healthy together this year. And their timeline is different. And I don't know that you can wait for those young kids to develop and take a chance on not having a championship team around Steph Curry when he's still playing at an MVP season. So they have interesting choices to make. I think that Marcus Thompson is as well sourced on the Warriors as any reporter out there. So I have no reason to doubt what his reporting is there. I think the issue with Beal is he available? That's what everybody in the league wants to know. He has to give some signal of what his intentions are long-term in Washington.
That's it.
For them to make a decision, for Russell Westbrook to make a decision, Russell wasn't under contract, but if Beal was not going to commit long-term, then I think that is in play as well. So we need to know where Bradley Beal stands, being the Wizards, the rest of the league, everybody else, because I don't know that he's available yet. So at number 7, I think they have some really good options there. It would have been more interesting if they were in the top 5, but Davion Mitchell is a kid to watch from Baylor. Really good defensive player. They're having him in for a second workout pretty soon. I think he fits their. He's a young player. He would fit that timeline where you have the three young guys, and then you have the three older guys. That he fits more with that timeline. But he's also a good enough defensive player, and that's something that they really needed last season. And that's the type of player that the Warriors have been built around. The only thing he isn't is tall. But he's a very good, tough defensive player. George, I liked your comparison with Davion Mitchell, sort of like a defensive version of Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, bodies are very similar. Mm. Davion is certainly impressive. Perk, what do you think of the Warriors situation?
Well, Look, this is a deep draft, and you know this is one of my favorite times of the year, but no one in this draft is going to help the Warriors and make them a contender right now and help them get over the hump. So with that being said, the most important player on this team, the most important player to this franchise in that franchise history is who? Steph Curry.
Yep.
Steph Curry is coming up for what? A contract extension. Like, we're talking about Damian Lillard and what he wants as far as what Portland, and he's sitting back and he's waiting and evaluating the front office to see if they're going to make the right moves. You don't think Steph Curry is doing the same right now? He wants to win. He don't want to go back through that stage where he had to baby Kelly Oubre. He don't want to go back to that stage where he had to baby and show Andrew Wiggins the way and even Wiseman. He wants. You have to bring in a veteran. You have to bring in a guy that's going to come in and have an immediate impact on the organization to keep the most important guy healthy and make sure that he signs that contract and be a Warrior for life.
Now, Perk, Ramona brought up an interesting point about Bradley Beal, which is Bradley's got to say, hey, I want to go somewhere else, right? But it's interesting, and Beal is an amazing player, but we're kind of sleeping on Spicy P as part of this discussion in Marcus Thompson's story in The Athletic. I actually like the Pascal Siakam fit on this Warriors team, perhaps even more so than I like Bradley Beal. That, of course, assuming we eventually get to relative normal health with Klay Thompson. But, Perk, what do you make of the potential situation if they had to choose one? Let's just, you know, let's just, for argument's sake, say they could pick one or the other, Beal or Siakam. Which one do you think is a better fit?
Well, I'm going with Pascal Siakam. I'm going with a guy that has the experience of actually winning the championship. Give me that 6'9", 6'10", versatile guy, and give me a guy that you could put alongside Draymond Green that he could put that dog into him. And look, Pascal is so versatile that you actually probably could play him at the five and go small. He could be a lob threat at the basket. We have witnessed him on the biggest stage rise to the occasion. Remember game one, he gave Draymond Green 32 points. We remember that on 16 to 18 shooting in game one of the finals. So I like the addition of Pascal Siakam if they could get him.
Yeah, look, the Raptors have to want to trade him.
He
had a bad year. So I don't think that's when you want to trade a guy. The Raptors are a really interesting spot at number four because Masai Ujiri's situation is still out there. He hasn't signed an extension yet, and his contract kind of lapsed, so he's just sort of working. I know they've had a lot of discussions. I don't think he's going anywhere, but who's running your franchise right now?
There's so much drama.
He's running the draft for him.
In the NBA every offseason. Even when we thought this was going to be a sleepy offseason. Look how this has turned out.
Yep. All right. No.
Coming up next here on The Jump, the excitement is back in the garden after the Knicks' first playoff berth in 8 years. Yes, producer Steve, I said that. The Knicks and GM Scott Perry agreed to a two-year extension. Is this something, nothing, or everything? We will discuss it all next. All right, welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano in for Rachel Nichols. Still here with Perk and Ramona. So we saw Giannis there. So let's play The Jump's oldest game. Something, nothing, or everything. And we start with Giannis, who struggled at times in the playoffs with his free throw shooting. We all remember fans on the road counting one, two, three, you get it, while Giannis was at the free throw line. So he imitated that for the Milwaukee fans in yesterday's parade. So Perk, is Giannis having some fun at the expense of being trolled at the free throw line? Something, nothing, or everything?
It's everything, for the simple fact that when you're a champion, you get to do things like this. When you've been trolled by the fans and they count down 10, 9, 8, look, he could do whatever the hell he want and piss everybody off. And I love every single thing about it, because when I was a champion, I rubbed it in people's face and I wanted to make the haters so mad. Do your thing, Giannis. This is everything.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's everything, too, just because he made his free throws in that last game, 17 and 19 in that game six. So you get to do that, not just because you won, but because you made those free throws. And I think when you have something like this, you can be Ben Simmons or you can be Giannis. Okay, Ben Simmons struggles with his free throws too, and doesn't like to talk about it, doesn't like to laugh about it, doesn't think any of it's funny. He also hasn't figured out how to make them when he needs to. Giannis has put himself out there. He continues to try. He continues to do things. Sometimes he makes them, sometimes he doesn't. But he's also laughing about it now. That's huge, to be able to laugh at yourself.
And by the way, kudos to Giannis in this regard. He didn't let him let that affect him at home, because a lot of his shooting woes at the free throw line were on the road, where he shot under 50% this postseason. And at home, he shot almost 80%. Yep. So he didn't let that affect him when he went home. All right, next up. And by the way, of course, it's everything. All right, next up, we have Knicks GM Scott Perry. After the Knicks made the playoffs for the first time in 8 seasons, they also landed home court in the first round as well. Got to give them their props. Perry was extended on a multi-year deal, according to The Athletic. So, Ramona, Scott Perry being extended, is this something, nothing, or everything?
I like the action shots for the GM with the phone, right? That's a good action shot. Yeah. I think that's something. Scott took over under the previous regime. Do you know how rare it is to be able to keep your job with a whole new regime that comes in? And they kept him there because he's the guy who went out and got Julius Randle. He's the guy who pivoted when they realized they weren't getting Kyrie and Kevin Durant together. He pivoted. He went and got Bobby Portis. He went and got Julius Randle. He reloaded with Taj Gibson. I think he's a very valuable member of that front office in constructing that team, but also in keeping that team together. The players on that team like Scott. They trust him. He's the one they signed with. It's a good sign for Scott, who this offer has been on the table for a couple of months here. I think Scott was in demand and talking to other teams about running a franchise himself again. That didn't materialize, so the Knicks just kept him here as the general manager under Leon Rose. But Scott's a name you're going to hear again for other general manager openings that are coming up.
Well, I'm going with everything again on this Friday for the simple fact that it's showing a lot of character throughout the organization, right? When you go out and you hire a guy like Leon Rose and you hire Worldwide West and Scott Perry has already been there, it just shows me that those guys also value him, along with Dolan that values him, along with Tom Thibodeau, along with those players. So for him to get that extension, and you have other guys that have come into the organization and one is ahead of you for us calling the shots, it just shows great character all across the board. And I can't believe that we're sitting up here right now, right before the draft, right before the free agency, and we're talking great about the New York Knicks. Times have really changed.
Yep.
Times have really changed.
To your point, Perk, I have spent many a time over the last 15 or 20 years, you know, maybe making a joke or two about the New York Knicks. So, kudos to them. They have done a great job here moving forward. They've got some real continuity. They've got a front office that knows what they're doing. And for the first time in a very long time, we should be positive about the Knicks, and that is a good thing for sure. All right, lastly, we have, and if, so it is everything as well. We're agreeing way too much here. All right, lastly, we have CJ McCollum, whose name has been in trade rumors after a first-round exit here in the playoffs most recently. So, Jason Quick, longtime Portland beat writer with The Athletic, reports that the Blazers have been offered high draft picks for CJ McCollum, but have refused. So, Perk, is this something, nothing, or everything?
You know what? It's everything, because this is what they're telling us. They're telling us that we don't want young guys, but CJ McCollum is on the table. We want something back in return, some type of veteran guy, like a Bradley Beal or something to that nature. So this is everything, because they basically are coming out and telling CJ McCollum that, hey, you're on the trading block. They're letting the world know that he's a piece that they're considering moving.
I'm going to say this is absolutely nothing, because if they were thinking of moving CJ McCollum for a draft pick, you can be thinking of moving Dame Lillard next, because you can't trade CJ for somebody like that for a draft pick.
Right.
That signals a rebuild. That signals we're getting younger. That signals I'm not getting Dame any help. CJ McCollum is a guy that can play. He's one of he's been there together with him most of the time Dame's been there. He's a great fit there. If they're going to trade him, they need to get somebody who can play now, not a draft pick that they can draft and develop. Because Dame Lillard wants to win now. He's impatient. I think that's been fairly clear in all of his messaging on social media and whatnot this summer. So, I think they should be turning down draft pick offers for him.
All right, so I'm going to disagree with both of you. I'm going to say this is everything, okay? And the reason I'm going to say is everything is Dame.
That's what you said, Joe.
I'm sorry, my bad, Big Perk. Okay, I thought you said something. Okay, so I agree with Big Perk. I do think it's everything because Dame Lillard is the centerpiece of the Portland Trail Blazers. There is no doubt about that. He is Mr. Portland at this point as well. If they lose Dame Lillard in some way, shape, or form, and I think that this is all tied into that, I think that the franchise has to completely start completely over. And perhaps someone like Neil O'Shea is also under the gun here in a situation where he needs to make a move to satisfy the fact that Damian Lillard is potentially thinking about other opportunities. At the very least, he's got to be at least thinking about it.
Can I say a word about Neil O'Shea?
Yeah.
In 2011, Neil O'Shea was the general manager of the Clippers. When they had the trade for Chris Paul on the 5-foot line for about a week. Remember how long that took? Okay, after the first trade for Chris Paul, the Lakers was vetoed. It came back around to the Clippers. And he held out for a week knowing that Chris Paul was right there because he didn't want to give up an extra pick, an extra player in that trade because New Orleans asked for like one more asset. And he said, nope, it's just one asset too much. He held on and they end up getting Chris Paul and not giving up that extra asset. So in terms of poker face, in terms of just intestinal fortitude there to hold on to your players and not make a deal until you're ready to do it, I've seen it.
No, I get it. But here's the thing.
He don't have time. He better not have that poker face right now.
Did he have time in 2011 with the Clippers?
Yeah.
You know? A whole week went by.
Yeah, but a different circumstance, I would say. Yeah, I would say a different circumstance because I don't think they were under the gun to lose their best player in that situation.
Dame's under contract. He didn't have to go anywhere.
I understand, but he seems disgruntled, is what I would say. Or at least not necessarily as in love with the situation as he has previously. Maybe not disgruntled. I'll take that back.
Look, you need to get Dame some help, but you do it on your time and you do it when you feel good about that move because you only get one chance to make this right. I mean, you can't try three things and hope one of them works. You have to really be strategic and smart about how you make these decisions, and I think that's the issue here in Portland is everybody wants you to do it right now. Everybody wants that trade to happen tomorrow or the next day so that they can have closure, but you make that trade when you're good and ready.
Yeah, but Ramona, it could turn out to be a disaster like it happened with the Rockets, right? They wanted to do things on their terms, and we saw what happened with that. They barely won 20 games this season. So with that being said is if you have a disgruntled superstar and he don't want to be there, and this is a guy that has laid it on the line for this Portland Trail Blazer team for the last 9 years, I'm not saying that a team owes you anything, but the least you could do is hear him out. And if Damian Lillard wants out, it would be in your best interest to put him in a place where he want to be. This is a loyal guy, respectful guy with great character, and he's not carrying himself like James Harden was. So
I agree with you. Perk, I agree with you, but Dame has not said I want out. He just went on the record to say, I'm not saying that right now. He's saying I want help.
Right.
And I think getting help, you have all summer. I agree with you. You can't wait until the season. You can't do the thing the Rockets did with Harden. But I think you have all summer to get him some help in the way that they deem best for them.
Right. And CJ McCollum is the best asset that they have, perhaps in trying to get him some help. So getting him for first rounders or draft picks, that's not going to help. To your point, Ramona, earlier for sure. But to CJ, real quick, man, I saw you tweeting out that charcuterie plate the other day. We were messing with you on the radio show, Sedano, LZ, and Cap on 710 ESPN. You need to get more meat on there, man. Less cheese. Less crackers. We need some more meat on there.
Did we not just see 36-year-old
some mortadella, some prosciutto? Hey. Come on, man. I'm trying to help you, CJ. You got the wine. You got sort of the right mix, but you need more meat, less crackers on there. All right, we're done here. Coming up, we know who the Lakers are built around, but what are realistic expectations for what type of roster they can build around LeBron and AD? We'll get to that in a second. But first, here's what The Jump recommends for today. On ESPN Plus, check out the best bets for the Olympics. Should you take Team USA to win the gold? How about them as a 12-point favorite against France on Sunday? Give it a read. The Jump. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Jump. All right, let's get to the Lakers here. It's something I talk about just as much, if not more, than the MMA in the MMA world right now. They made their first move in what will be a busy offseason by extending a qualifying offer to second-year guard Talen Horton Tucker. Also, the Los Angeles Times is reporting that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry both have the Lakers on their radar ahead of free agency. So, Ramona, what are realistic expectations for the Lakers this offseason?
Well, the step with Talen Horton Tucker is that they had to do that so that he becomes a restricted free agent. The question is, how far are they willing to go in terms of extending him and how much money they're going to pay him? Because other teams can sign him to a deal which would be very uncomfortable for the Lakers in the way that they backload that contract and the way they set up the contract. DeMar DeRozan, LA kid, not surprising to me at all that he'd be interested in the Lakers. Same thing with Kyle Lowry, but for how much? Because it's difficult for them to pay anything more than the way this works, the salary cap math worth for the Lakers is if Montrezl Harrell picks up his player option, he has until July 31st to do that. If he opts into his deal, they've used their mid-level exception, which
is about nine-ish.
They can't pay anybody more than $5.9 million. That's a pretty significant pay cut for either of those two guys, which means they would likely have to acquire them via sign and trade. Now, Alex Caruso, unrestricted free agent. Andre Drummond, unrestricted free agent. Dennis Schroeder, unrestricted free agent. Now, the Lakers tried to keep Schroeder, obviously, during the year. They offered him several different contracts. He thinks he can get more. My understanding, I don't know that he can elsewhere. I'm not sure where the home would be for him elsewhere. You've heard New York, Chicago. I don't know if that will materialize in the way that we thought it might during the year. And so the Lakers may end up getting a discount to keep Schroeder. I think they have other opportunities in terms of trades lined up that they can push those buttons. This is what you do in a front office. You call around the league, you have things set up, and decide which doors to walk through. So the first point where we find out what the Lakers are going to do this offseason comes at the draft. I think they have a couple of deals that they could potentially move forward on to acquire either a point guard or help around the roster. But Rob Pelinka and his staff have been working. Last year was obviously a disappointment for the Lakers and the Heat, the two teams that went to the finals. And they have ambitions to get right back there. If you have LeBron James, Anthony Davis on your roster, you are a championship team. So I expect the Lakers to be active. I think of the two you mentioned, DeRozan and Lowry, I think Lowry is more of an option than DeRozan just because he doesn't seem to fit. He doesn't necessarily fit Toronto's long-term plans anymore.
Well, and real quick before Perk goes, you know, they need a secondary playmaker, right? Like, I don't think there's any question about that. So Lowry fits that more so than DeRozan. Perk, what do you think the expectations should be for the Lakers here?
Well, first of all, the Lakers need to be crying tears of joy that Dennis Schroeder didn't take the extension after the way he played this postseason. And they need to be trying to find a home from him, either with a sign of trade or get off his salary. And then next, they need to get rid of Kyle Kuzma. Look, Kyle Kuzma is just not going to figure out a way how to play winning basketball. I'm tired of watching them play. I know guys around the league and on that team are tired of being a part of what he's been bringing to the table. But long as you have LeBron James and long as you have Anthony Davis, you can fill in those spots. Look, we have to remember, both of those guys were not healthy. We also have to remember that before LeBron James got injured, he was playing at an MVP level. Mm-hmm. Yes, at year 18. I believe that Anthony Davis is going to come back on a mission. Matter of fact, I'm predicting right now that he's going to be the one to win MVP next season. He sees all the slander. He's hearing everything about Giannis. He's very quiet at the moment. And from what I'm hearing, he's working his tail off behind the scenes. So, look, the Lakers got to do something, but I would not panic if I'm a Lakers fan because you still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. You could fill in the pieces. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry will fit just well. If you could sign and trade, and the Wizards would take on Kuzma and Dennis Schroeder, and you get back Russell Westbrook, then do your thing. What happened? What's that, George? I can't see.
I wrote it down, so that way we have a record of this. You said AD MVP.
Yeah,
it says Perk AD MVP.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I believe so.
Okay. I just want to make sure we document this stuff with you.
Well, we have to always remember who came into the league at the same time, who was up for shoe deals at the same time. Giannis and Anthony Davis have a lot in common there. And Anthony Davis actually won a title before Giannis did. Okay, let's remember that. But Giannis got a signature shoe deal before AD. And there's a competitiveness. So I know what you're talking about there, Perk. Yep. And when you hear, when you didn't do it, and you heard all this year, Anthony Davis obviously didn't have a good finish to the year. He didn't have a good year in general. So if he's motivated, that's all the Lakers need to hear. That's all they need to hear. LeBron and AD is enough as long as they're motivated and healthy.
We'll see. It is going to be a fascinating offseason, as I continue to say that throughout the show. All right, coming up next. Speaking of the offseason, there are rumors that the Cavs are looking to move Kevin Love. But what's his trade value? We'll discuss that next after the break. Stick around. You're watching The Jump. All right, welcome back to The Jump. Reports from The Athletic have surfaced about the Cavaliers hoping to trade Kevin Love this offseason. Love only played in 25 games this season, and maybe his most memorable highlight was the frustration he had on court. Now, Perk, after all of this, what is Kevin Love's trade value?
It's really down right now, and it's not because Kevin Love talent, but it's this question of, do he still love the game of basketball? Do he still want to play? Can you trust him to be available to play the game of basketball? And I'm going to leave it at that.
Man, you just said that right as
that
highlight came back
on. Good Lord.
Look, there's been a market for Kevin Love the last few years. The problem is he makes so much money. He still has got $60 million left on his deal, and somebody would have to take on that money, which then becomes part of the asset, right? Like, you're taking on the $60 million, and Cleveland doesn't necessarily have trouble getting they need that money on their salary cap, right? They need that money on their books to get to the salary floor. So, to me, you have to say to Kevin, help us help you.
Yeah.
If you want to be in a different situation, if you want to be in a winning situation, play really well at the start of the season, build the market up for you so we can get something for you. Because trading him after that contract for nothing, that'd be hard for Cleveland.
Well, and maybe you can package him with Colin Sexton. There's been some rumors about that. Maybe it's a combo deal. Thanks, Ramona. Thanks to Perk for joining us today. We'll be back next week. Thanks for watching us. NFL Live is up next. Have a great weekend.